Course, Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network, getting ready for the start of the NFL season. Final weekend of the preseason. Now we wait. For most teams, ends up being a couple of weeks, but we've got a game Thursday. Don't forget, we get the Brazil game coming up on Friday as well. We mentioned the college football nonstop starting on Thursday. Games Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it gets rolling right around the corner with the NFL. So great time of the year. Super jacked about it. Joe O, Sammy P here. Weekdays, BetMGM Network here on Bet Sweats. And we had the NFL preseason wrap up over the weekend. What do we do with this? Is there anything there, Sam? Or is it just like an excuse to continue the Shadur talk as we just await the start of the season?
I was wondering when we were going to bring up one of the brothers, Sanders, whether it be Shadur, Shiloh, or
Barry. I thought you were talking about Monica McNutty.
No. Look, there's a lot of rage bait on the internet about Shadur Sanders, and I've always felt the same way. If he's good enough to play, he'll play. If he's good enough to be on a team, he'll make a team. I'm not going to make it about anything else. Now, his brother, Shiloh, did get cut. And ironically enough, it was a day or two after he presented his mother with his jersey. And then he got into a tussle, got ejected, and then he gets cut. So that was unexpected, but also don't get ejected from a preseason game. If you're a fringe roster guy, you need to give your team reasons to keep you, not cut you. And then there's this whole, you know, path about, well, if he was this and if he was that, he'd make the team. I don't think the NFL cares about his last name. If he's good enough to play, somebody will find a role for him. If he's not good enough to play and he's getting ejected from preseason games, he's going to get cut. Why does it always have to be second meaning, third meaning? To me, it's very simple. If they're good enough, they'll make teams. If they're not, they won't.
My prediction is Flacco, Pickett, Shadur, Gabriel all make the Browns roster. I think they're keeping four. And that's probably the route that I would go. Why would you draft a guy and cut a guy? Like Gabriel, for what it is, he had a very good preseason. Sure, they put him in positions to succeed. And that's what the preseason is. If you look at yards per attempt, he was the best of all the quarterbacks that played. He was a little bit better than Flacco, better than Huntley, better than Shadur. Gabriel did fine. And you drafted him higher. I don't know evaluation process where they are on him. But they did end up drafting him higher. He's not going anywhere. Flacco's your day one starter. You brought in Pickett to be a bridge. You can't have one Flacco injury to a 40-year-old quarterback, and then you got to go to one of these late-round rookies. Like, no, you can't have that. So I think all four are going to stay, man. That's the interesting part. So Huntley got some time in the preseason. He'll be gone, but those other four, I think they keep them all. What do you think?
According to this story, it's the number one story on Fox Sports right now. It's that the Browns GM opens the door to have four quarterbacks on the active roster. So click that because, of course you do, because you click everything Sanders related. And there's a quote from the GM, Andrew Berry, Cleveland's GM. Honestly, not much of a decision for us. We have room, and we like the room that we have. We don't see it as a problem. We see it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So that plays into what you're saying. They don't know what they've got, so they might as well do it. It's very unconventional. A lot of teams only dress two quarterbacks and have the third on the practice squad. Okay. If you have four quarterbacks, do you have one quarterback? Probably not.
No, you're hoping one sticks. And so why would you get rid of one? With the worry that, oh, man, that might be the one that can actually play in this league. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think they're going to keep all four. More quarterback news. I saw over the weekend Pete Carroll said that they're going to add a veteran quarterback with the Raiders because they now have to. Aiden O'Connell, broken wrist. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So some of that depth gone. Like outside of O'Connell, that's now going to be a new quarterback room in Vegas.
And you have a new backup in Minnesota as well because the Vikings trade Sam Howell to the Eagles. I think Sam Howell should be in the CFL. Different combo, different day maybe. And the Vikings signed Carson Wentz. So now it's J.J. McCarthy 1 and Carson Wentz number 2.
Yikes. Yikes. I mean, he's such a quarterback whisperer. I can fix Sam Howell. They're like, yeah, no, this guy's trash. Let's get him out of here. Yeah, the Raiders are going to have to sign somebody because – at the moment, the backup is Cam Miller out of North Dakota State. Yeah. Cam Miller. He's the backup right now to Geno. So they're going to have to add somebody there. So that there's going to be a move there. Anything? I don't think there's anything else quarterback related. I guess a Saints quarterback decision coming up in a few days. But I don't know. All the content I consume about the Saints, which is – admittedly, not a ton. That is by design, because what else are you going to say? It just seems like they're going with the rookie. Like, all signs have been pointing to that all offseason.
I wanted to read you a snippet of this email I saw from Ed Fang. I know a lot of us subscribe to the Power Rank. Mm-hmm. He went in on the Patriots. And he is talking about how while Vrabel might be a solid motivator and they'll be better, he's not sold. And here's a line from Ed Fang's newsletter. In addition, Vrabel's best teams in Tennessee were frauds. You don't hear a lot of that. Look, as somebody who's heard way more Patriot hype than most, because I'm here in Boston and I deal with a lot of this, you're not seeing many people say Patriots under. If anything, it's over, sleeper, playoff team. Fang said that the team in 2020 that went 11-5 was his 15th best team. They lost in the wild card to Baltimore. In 21, Vrabel's Titans went 12-5, but they overachieved because they were his 14th best team. He likes Vrabel. He thinks he's an awesome motivator, and he thinks schematically they're going to be in the right places. But he is warning people on the Patriots, do not drink the Kool-Aid. Do not believe that they're going to just turn this over from last year to this year, because that was a 4-13 team last year, and they didn't really add a lot of talent. Okay? People like Henderson. I get it. Henderson's fine. You add Diggs, who hasn't been on the field for almost 3 straight seasons now. You have 2 rookies starting on the offensive line, and you overpaid on defense for multiple free agents. Why are people so excited to bet that win total over? I don't get it.
I agree with you, man. Just the talent level is not that much better. And people have that so much faith in Vrabel. I'm chuckling to myself because you are bringing me to a much better time. And that better time was the Tennessee Titans fraud conversation. And I'm glad that Ed brought that up. I haven't heard that brought up much here. And he's right. And I say a better time because there was, I don't know if you remember this, there was an all-out war online. On one side, it was Chelsea Messinger. The Titans are not frauds. And on the other side, it was Ian McMillan. They would battle constantly over this. It was phenomenal. Some of the best content I've ever seen. Both sides would get very angry about it. And then Ian started doing his fraud rankings every week, and he kept putting the Titans number one, and she would get so pissed about it living in Tennessee. But Ed was right. Ian was right. The argument that people are going to make is, well, that's how good Vrabel is. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to lift this team up. Look at Vrabel's ATS record. It's kind of like Tomlin. They're like in that 60% range. Like, you don't see that much. And that's what Vrabel's going to do with New England. That, yes, they don't have the talent they want yet, but they're going to get there. And just having an adult in the room, a professional coaching staff, Vrabel's going to lift that team up to all these extra wins. That's the argument that's being made. I hear it from Patriots fans as well. Like you, I'm not buying it.
They have to be 5 wins better than last year. Again, yeah. They went 4-13 last year. So to get over 8.5, you got to be 5 wins better. I know the schedule's easy, but what if they're just not good? I'm looking at Kenny White's NFL power ratings. He has the Patriots 26 out of 32. 26. The only teams he has worse are Atlanta, Jets, Giants, Titans, Browns, Panthers, Saints. That's their company right now. That's the block that they live on. And also for Vrabel. Okay, I get it. People like Vrabel. I like Vrabel. But we don't have this history of Vrabel turning a bum team into a good team. Remember, Malarkey gets fired after 9-7. Malarkey went 9-7, 9-7, gets fired. They bring in Vrabel, who proceeds to go 9-7, 9-7. It's that third year where they get to 11 wins. The fourth year, they get to 12 wins. Vrabel's not going to just change this overnight. So that's where I'm at. But that's another team. That's another You Better You Bet playoff team. The Bears are one. The Patriots are two. What? I'm giving you facts. You want facts? Those are facts.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those are the two most popular over the win total teams, right? Like by a wide margin. Been Bears and Patriots probably all offseason.
Probably. Yeah.
That's what I've seen from John Ewing all offseason. Bears over, Patriots over. I mean, and that's what those fan bases are going to do. They're going to bet those teams to go over every single offseason. I didn't know. But to clarify,
you missed a lot.
Not added to the Super Bowl, not added to the Super Bowl list, just playoff list. Are we saying double-digit wins for both?
I don't remember how many wins for New England, but Bears was definitely 10. But the good thing about those bets that they were talking
after
about
the Bills game,
is that they
was
were
it after the Bills game. Tell me it was after the Bills game.
Well, it had to have been because it was last week. So okay, yes. Perfect. So because the Bears, the Bears, I believe, were +150 to make the playoffs, and then the Patriots were +140. Or something, maybe it's 160, 140, 170, 150, whatever. The point is, if one of them makes the playoffs, you make money. You go 1-1, but you juice up. You don't juice out because they're both, you know, 150, 160, 170, whatever. I don't have the prices in front of me. But the point was, he's going to roll the dice on both of them. And if you go 0-2, you lose 2 units. You go 2-0, you win almost 3. You go 1-1. You're up on the juice because they're both plus money. But, yeah, Patriots and Bears for sure.
I'm looking at this Patriots schedule, and I understand why people say it's so easy. The front half's easy. If you look at the end there, you got a bunch of divisional games, as always. You're going to Baltimore. One of those late division games is Buffalo. You get Dart in week 13. Like, that's a game that people are guaranteeing a victory. Okay, he's been playing for 3 months maybe. Like, that's not the easiest spot. They got to go to Cincinnati too. Like, this second half isn't that easy. And I don't think people really know what the Jets are. And you get them twice in the second half of the year. Like, the Jets might be okay. They might, dare I say it, they might be better than the Patriots. I know you're not supposed to say it. They're the second place team in the AFC East. But they might be better. And a lot of those bad teams that they're playing, they might be looking at New England on the schedule and saying that's an easy game for them, or that's an attainable victory for them. So I'm on the same page with you in New England. I'd rather go.
We don't know if Drake May is good. He could be.
No.
We don't know. I'm looking at the recent depth chart for the Patriots. Rookie at left tackle, rookie at left guard. That's your quarterback's blindside.
Three straight road games. The third road game at Tennessee in the middle of the season. Those are always very difficult spots. Revenge game. That's going to be fun to talk about. Joe O, Sammy P, let's talk some contests on the other side. This is the BetMGM Network. Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Joe O, Sammy P. We'll get to Lightning Bets coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll muster something up. Man, we started the show with it, mentioning it, but I know it's August. Summer's over, man. The kids, it's their second week of school. We're now going into the first week of college football. It's officially done, man. When you were out in Vegas, did you get into all the contests that you were open?
Yeah, I got two survivors, and then I joined a third one with a couple of the guys you may know, 108 guys. And then I'm in two Westgate college contests. So five in total. That's enough. I did laugh, though. I was in Vegas. Obviously, we haven't seen each other or talked to each other on the air. I got through all my signups, and it was a tough week because you get in Wednesday, I came in hot. And then Thursday, I got even hotter. I had to sign up like Friday morning, Saturday morning. As I finally got back to my hotel room to check out, like I was ready to go. I was tapped. It was done. I was ready for the airport. Joe Ostrowski. Hey, are you all signed up for contest? ? Like, dude, you've had 7 days to reach out.
I know.
You know, you knew I was going to be there. So I did not. Bet Sweats does not have any entries in a Vegas contest, but Matty did ask. He goes, oh, where's Joe's money at? I'm like, I don't know, man. Text Joe.
He never texted me. I've been going back and forth about it. And, you know, when you're off, you lose track of days as well. Like, I didn't even – last year? I think Ray Diaz, he signed up for me from the Score and executive producer when they were out there. They were out there again last week because it was sign-up weekend. I didn't even mention it. I think there's a part of me that just doesn't want to do it. I'm going to be entering a lot of contests. And then I saw that like Splash is doing some high money ones. I'm like, oh, so I don't have to fly out to Vegas. I don't have to bother people and try to get them to sign me up and go through all those hoops. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do Circa. I'll have enough. I'll be in enough contests where I'll be very happy if I end up winning. And if I win, I'll be okay. If it's not the prestige of the Circa Survivor or Circa Million. What's the Chirizi one? What's the 108 guys one?
So they wanted me to split one with them. So it's 33-33-3. So the three of us are in one. And then my partner, we have two Survivor, two college. So yeah, I got on the plane with about $6,000 cash. And that's enough, right? I mean, obviously people go with more money. I'm not saying that's an exorbitant amount of money, but I mean, that's a good amount of money that you got on a plane with. And it's all in the contest. It's all dumped in contests and future bets. So everything's been sprayed and scattered. And now we wait. And the college contest, I believe I have to get my picks in by this Friday for week number one. And it's 7 games ATS. The entire college board is on there, FBS. So that's exciting. I feel good about it because you're not going to have anywhere near the amount of people as you do. Survivor's going to have a $20 million pot, but you have to outlast all of those people. The college contest is a lot smaller and, in my opinion, much easier to win because there's less people, number one. And number two, I think I'm better at college than I am at pro. So I feel good about it.
I still have to figure it out. I'll figure it out what exactly I'm doing. But now, like online, there are $1,000 entry ones. I see a $5,000 entry one. I'm like, okay, and I don't have to fly to Vegas. I don't have to pay for a flight. Don't have to get a proxy. It's just like, yeah, it's a thing. And it gets your name out there if you end up winning that contest. But like you said, the pot's awesome, and it's, I think, the best contest going, but I can play in other Survivor pools, and I'm going to play in other – I'm going to run a couple of Survivor pools. So does it have to be that one? I don't know that it does. Yeah, it's just – The whole Vegas thing and the Wire Act, it's so stupid, man. I'm not taking a stand or anything, but I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of over all that. Like having to go out there to sign up. It's so ridiculous.
It is sort of funny, though. You can't break the Wire Act to do a Vegas contest, but you can do it on Splash Sports.
I know. It's right? So stupid. And that's gotten bigger and bigger. It's just now a handful of states that don't have it. I started sending out the invites yesterday to mine, and there are a lot of people that do my contest in Pennsylvania for a number of reasons. The show's on there. You know, it's a big Odyssey station. Joe Giglio was on the show for a while. And I was getting emails and like, nope, they're in PA now. And that is a massive get for them. So it's just a handful of states where you can't do it. And most of them are out west, and you understand why, including Nevada.
I haven't even signed up for yours yet, and I'll be in yours. Are you going to do the two again? You're going to do the lower one and the higher one?
Yep, exact same. Yeah, I've been behind on all
and
that.
250? Is that it? 50 Correct. And 250 price point? Okay.
Correct. And the 108 guys won the 251 last year. And I was curious because I forgot how long it took. They won it in week 10. Like people talk about these paths and all that. For Circus Survivor, you need to do that. You need to save certain teams. Theirs was over by Thanksgiving. And there were, I think, 206 entries in that one for their prize, which was almost 50K. Like, man, that's a completely different strategy if you know it's only going half the season as opposed to the entire season.
I'm really going to take your Rich People League a lot more serious this year and not just come out of the gate and fade the Bears. But I did.
You mean
I did Titans? Stick to my guns. I faded the Bears, took the Titans. Gertz has the famous picture of Will Levis throwing with his knee almost done on the ground. It's unbelievable. The Bears didn't score an offensive point and knocked me out of Survivor. But I did stick to my guns. I said I was going to pick against them, and I did, and I lost. Mm-hmm. I promise you I will take your Rich People League a lot more serious this year.
I am doing College Football Survivor. I said I wouldn't. I'm doing it. I'm doing a lot of these contests. I mean, who am I kidding?
It's just a matter of –
Yeah, I know. I know that's the whole thing. So I'm being careful about which ones I'm doing because I used to enter too many. I did enter Beto's as well, which I know you're a part of. It's a Chicago media ATS contest. I got into that one. And actually, like if they're all on one site for the most part, it makes life a lot easier when you're double and triple checking all your picks and getting them all in and all that. So I'll be in that one as well. We'll get it all figured out, but it's going to be big. It's going to be a big year as far as contests. One of these years I'll win a Survivor.
You could argue that it might be a legendary football season.
You could argue that, and I hope it is. We're going to make it legendary. What about fantasy drafts? Have you done any?
I have one Thursday. So they told me where I pick. It was on Friday night. I was out. My parents were here. I wasn't really paying much attention. It's a 12-person league, and I got pick number 6, snake style. So I'll miss all the good running backs, and I'll take a receiver, as I always do. If I pick 6, I just pick the opposite. So if it goes 4 receivers and 1 running back, I'll probably take a running back. If it goes 5 running backs straight, I'll take – a receiver, but I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of Jamar Chase at the top, 1 or 2. So I just kind of have to see how the draft breaks, and then I'll take the best with the most remaining, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I remember last year when you took Chase, like there was a big celebration, and you were spot on with that pick. It was a great pick. I have not done fantasy football over the last couple of years. It got to a point where it was too much. If I'm going to jump back in, I need it to be worth my time. And so I probably need to reach out to our guy, Mike Shoup at WGR in Buffalo. Cause he knows about these high level leagues. I feel like I want to do one of those. If I'm going to jump back in, let's make it worth my time.
I think he has 80 fantasy teams.
Insane. Insane. Does Underdog do that, or am I wrong?
Yeah, Underdog's a part of it. He does a lot of the best ball stuff. He's so next level at the fantasy. He's got all these types of leagues. And then he also does the weekly leagues, which, you know, you can do. You don't have to have a season-long team. You can basically allocate your budget to build a team for week one or week four or week eight individually. So if you could just build the best lineup for your buck in a given week, you could make $100,000, bang, just like that. Wow. So it's a different world for me, though, because as I've always said, it's very difficult to be good at both. The best bettors are probably horrible at fantasy, and the best fantasy guys are likely bad at betting. It's very hard to do both, and I don't have the capacity to do both.
Yeah, or the fantasy guys, they're good at prop betting specifically, maybe season-long props, stuff like that. It's kind of like if you're going to do both, you have to do certain kind. Like if you're a side bettor, you're probably right that you're not the biggest fantasy guy. And Paul brings up the guillotine leagues too. I love those, man. So you can get yourself into trouble. You could spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and get zero back before your NFL season even gets going. And that's something to be careful of.
I haven't even had my conversations yet. Ooh, nice notification. Very important news. Sabrina Ionescu and Breonna Stewart are both going to play tonight for the Liberty. All right. Now we can move on with our lives. I haven't even gotten to talking about week one yet. And I'm in three survivors. We haven't even crossed that bridge yet. So we haven't had any discussion on teams we like, teams to stay away from. Have you done any diligence yet on week one? I know we've talked about the games and we've had small conversations, but knowing that you're going to be in it some way, shape, or form, have you created a list? Are you checking it twice?
As far as
teams to bet week one, Survivor. Survivor.
I've looked at it a little bit, but I think we all know what the super popular play is. It's going to be the Denver Broncos. That's the chalk. But I don't know that I want to avoid it entirely. Like, it makes sense. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what if Cam Ward's Jaden Daniels? You know, like now that's going to be a concern. But I don't want to bet on a rookie quarterback going to Denver. That's one, you know, Washington is going to be very popular because, you know, we're looking at rookie quarterback situation there, even though I think the Giants are probably going to be better than a lot of people expect. It's probably going to be more picking on teams. Like, I'm going to take some Arizona. And that might be my favorite pick if we're talking about just staying away from the chalk. The chalk is going to be Denver. That's going to be the most popular pick. And I just don't see how there's any way around that.
I think my favorite one, week number one, might be Jacksonville.
Okay.
Let's go, Joe.
Go ahead.
I was trying to rile you up,
Joe. Let me know how that one goes. I would take Carolina outright in that game. Not joking.
See, this is what I did
Sam
last
did with
year.
The Titans. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's exactly what Sam did. Everybody was saying Bears and laying the spread, and I said, you know what? I'm so anti-Bears week one. I'm going to take the Titans and Survivor. Did not work out.
I dare you to take the Bengals at the Browns.
So
do that.
In all seriousness, my short list right now, and you're not going to like one of them. Number one, Bengals. Number two, Raiders.
Jaguar.
Raiders.
What they
look
got?
Who the Raiders
fight. Oh, you're, it's the same thing as the Titans a year ago. It's the exact same thing.
I can't quit. I have a problem. I need to take an underdog in Survivor week one. Y'all got any more of them underdogs?
It's week one. Why?
Dude, you know the Patriots are losing. You know they're losing. You know it, and I know it.
I like them plus three, but I'm just saying. I don't know, man. Like, just you can make your point by fading them in other ways. You don't have to go against them in Survivor.
Take don't make me funnel 250 into the Rich People League and hammer the Raiders in Survivor Week One.
You're doing it. You're doing it. All right,
maybe
let's get our underdog parlay going here. Apparently,
didn't yeah, I think at the some point didn't Sam say he's not doing exactly what he said? I'm going to take Joe's Rich People pool much more seriously.
Seriously,
5 minutes ago.
Well, things change.
Do it with one of your circus spots.
No,
Lightning Bets next. BetMGM Network. Ah, hilarious. Joe, Sammy P, thanks. I was wondering what was coming back when Sam asked Jake. Jake, how do we feel about it? Are we going to have it? Yeah, we got it. They got it. That was not recorded after the Chiefs game, right? Just after the Bills game?
After the Bills game. Bowl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Bears fans booed them when they took a knee at the very end of the game. They wanted them to continue. It was, I think it was 38-0. I forget, it was 44-38. I think 38. And they were booing the Bears because they took knees at the end instead of going for the touchdown. They got the shutout. That wasn't good enough. Man. I hate that stadium because it looks like a spaceship. That I couldn't tell you the last time I was there before I went to that Bears-Bills game. But I do have to say that once you're inside, there's not much to complain about. Like, it's not the coziest atmosphere. It's not their place. That's what they're going to get with their next stadium. But there's really not a bad seat in the house. Like, everything's comfortable. Everywhere seems to be a pretty good view for the most part. Like, it's ugly from the outside. When you're driving down Lakeshore Drive, it looks hideous. Like a stain on the city, and I can't stand it, and it pisses me off. But once you're inside, it's not a bad stadium, and looks like Bears won't be playing there not that much longer.
Well, they should do what the Patriots did. You buy up all the land, build the stadium, and then you own all of the land that the businesses and bars and restaurants have to pay you for. They have a freaking monopoly here. It's not easy to get to. It's 2-lane highway all the way down to Foxborough. But the Crafts own everything, and you pay them no matter what to operate your business, your bar, your restaurant, on top of the success from the team, landmine. I think that's the model that the Bears should follow. Not that I'm an advisor to the Chicago Bears, but that's what I would do. Buy the land. Did we learn nothing from the founder? You're not a fast food operator. You're in the real estate business. That's what the Bears should do. Own the land and charge rent to everybody.
They did buy the land. Speaking of buying, I jumped in on the Cowboys documentary. Have you watched any of it? I only watched one episode.
I'm about halfway through.
Oh, you're further along than I am. Okay, so how is it coming up? What am I in for? Not give it away, but enjoyable?
So episode 3 is when they become legit. And then I'm at the 4th episode now. I think I fell asleep during the 4th. It's when they start to show that Super Bowl power. But the first episode I thought was very well done. Kind of set the stage. And I was a year old when Jarrah bought the team. So I don't remember how much hatred he got from the fan base. So it was a nice refresher course there, because I was a child, an infant, when the Cowboys became the Cowboys under Jerry. So I never knew a lot of the backstory stuff. And I did know about them trading Herschel Walker and then cutting all the players. That's a brilliant move looking back. Yeah.
I can't wait for that. I remember that. Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to give too much
Everybody
away.
Everybody knows what happened.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. The first episode for me, when Jerry bought the team, like, I was too young for that, even. But, like, I do remember The Cowboys, when they were building that, I was like, this is, in addition to the Bears, like, this is my other team. This is the team I love. Like, this team is awesome. And I haven't been like that in a long time. I just love the, between the Herschel Walker trade and the way they were building things, I'm like, that is the team. So I can't wait. It looks like it's pretty damn good, though, with Jerry. I just find it to be hilarious because the title is America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys. And you're right, it sets the stage. And again, I've just seen the first episode so far. It's quite ironic because this is not who Jerry has been for decades. He made his millions, billions, I should say, being a gambler. His big moves that went positive for him with the Cowboys, and he said this in the beginning of it, he gambled, he took shots. He doesn't do that anymore. Whether it's the coach or the big moves or it's paying their dudes, he's not a gambler anymore. And they haven't won in a long, long time.
They have not won a playoff game since I was 6 years old. 30 years.
Yep. Maybe it'll happen this year, but they're going to have to take down the team that we talked about today and count down to kickoff, the Washington Commanders, if they want to make the playoffs. I don't think we're going to see three teams out of the NFC East make it. I'll probably watch an episode or two of that today. Looking forward to that. You know what I finally watched? And I know you'll appreciate this, and I guarantee you've watched it. I can't believe it took me this long. I finally got around to binging Tires.
dude, it's so good. Tires is insane.
It's insane. Like, I like Shane Gillis, but I want to punch him in the face. Like, his character, if I had to deal with that person in real life on a daily basis, oh my God. His cousin's nuts.
The whole staff is nuts. I mean, like, top to bottom, they're all insane. And then you got the writers and some of the cast members. Very, very funny. When they have the HR meeting in the lobby with the TV.
Uh-huh. Yes.
This is absurd. I also, not to pivot here, I want to correct myself. The Cowboys haven't been to an NFC championship since I was 6 years old. They've won playoff games. Granted, wild card games. Wild card, wild card, wild card, wild card. They haven't won a big playoff game since I was 6 years old. So I stand corrected. I knew what I meant to say. I just didn't say it right. But yes, Tires is a very good show. A lot longer season two as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For good reason. We didn't even mention this with Jenks, and I think it was because we barely mentioned it. Because we figured it was going to get done. It is official. Terry McLaurin is signed. If you're worried about Scary Terry being back with the Commanders, worry no more. 3-year extension worth $96 million. So Terry McLaurin will stay a Commander. So in that division, what about Parsons? That's the question.
They always thought Terry would be there. I don't think anybody around that building thought that he was going to leave. It was just a matter of making both sides happy. They are trying to build around their superstar quarterback. And you brought this up earlier. That defense is getting older. I know that you have a long shelf life, ideally, with Jaden Daniels. But they feel like with the team they have and building off of what they did last year, they feel like they have a Super Bowl window in the next 3 years. So they wanted to make sure that everything around Jaden Daniels stayed the same or got better. You don't get better by losing Terry McLaurin. So this always felt like it was inevitable that they would bring him back.
Yep. You had to. Based on the other every move that you made and with Jaden Daniels, like you mentioned, you had to bring Scary Terry back. 5 1,000-yard seasons. He's back with the Commanders, so no concerns there with their wide receiver one. Joe O, Sammy P on Bet Sweats. Sam, what do you have for Lightning Bets on this Monday?
Let me give this one out. I think we talked about this a couple months ago. It's fine. I gave out Miami +3. It's now 2.5. I still like it. I think Miami's going to win the game. I think they should be favored in the game. So if you didn't get down a couple months ago, let's play Miami. The Canes are +2.5 at home against Notre Dame and that young quarterback. Joe and I probably going to be rooting for separate sides in that game. Wink, wink. But I am taking the points. And then we talked about this off the top. I was able to find a couple places that are taking bets on this. The Big Dumper MVP parlayed with the Bills to win the Super Bowl. One book's letting me do it right now at +2,000. So that is something that should be considered. The other book was doing 15-1. This one's doing 20-1. Bills win it all. Raleigh wins the MVP 20-1.
Good idea on college football. That's the direction I'm going to go. I don't feel great about anything. I was looking at Scherzer. He's a sizable favorite. He's on a good run right now going up against Joe Ryan. But give me LSU. LSU getting 4, neutral site game against Clemson coming up on Saturday night. All the chatter this week is going to be about how terrible Brian Kelly is in season openers, and they're never, ever going to win one. I see a 4.5 out there already, but the market's 4. I'll call it at 4. I will take LSU getting the points against Clemson, even though I do like Clemson this season. All right, let's go to the fellas. We've got Jake Kassan, Paul Aspen. What are you guys thinking for Lightning Bets?
I don't know if Paul's here, but I'll just take the lead on this one.
RIP, Paul. Speak up,
I don't know.
Please.
Christopher Sanchez, please, tonight against the Mets. I know we're not likely to win. Skeens was awesome against the Rockies yesterday. But Sanchez, just keep us in it. Just make it interesting. That's all I'm asking for. Against the Mets tonight, if he shoves, I still feel like we're kind of in the conversation. I'll take that. So no official bet. Just go Christopher Sanchez, please.
$1.30 road favorites over at BetMGM, Christopher Sanchez tonight. Yeah, this might be the last stand. If it's not good, it's all Paul Skeens. For Sam, I'm Joe. This is Bet Sweats. We're here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time every single day. It's football season. Welcome back, everyone. This has been the BetMGM Network.